You're welcome to the Banned Books and Book Podcast. Scratch that. Hi guys, welcome to Throughout Podcast. My name is Jordan Ray. This is a safe space, a joker's place, and anything you'd like to talk about, I talk about it here on this podcast. This podcast was formerly known as the Banned Books and Book Podcast. But now it has a new name, a new administration, a new look to life. And what's better than starting off with a new episode in a new year? Welcome to 2021, guys. How was your holiday? Mine wasn't really great at all. I lost weight. Can you imagine? Christmas, Boxing Day, New Year, how will I be losing weight? I lost weight. December was very tricky for me. I had exams. From exams, I had like an emotional breakdown. But I'm feeling better now. I believe I want to feel better now. I am better now. So I decided that instead of moving this podcast rebranding to August, because my plan was August, so I will start everything. I was like, okay, how about I begin this new year, new me energy. So I decided that instead of August, we start in January. So welcome, guys, to this new administration. I felt like Banned Books and Broke had already told its story. I started off Banned Books and Broke, I think, in 2017 or 2018. But I think I was doing internship at the time, so it should be 2018. And I told myself that it was for me to talk, to banter, to discuss societal issues as well, and also to talk about the fact that I'm always broke. Not necessarily always broke, but the broke mentality, meaning that I would always want to strive for more money, to how I dealt with money. I believe that I was able to communicate these three things with the little topics I discussed, the little episodes and everything else like that. So Banned Books and Broke has reached its conclusion. We put a full stop, period, and now we're moving on to the Reroute Podcast. The reason why it's called Reroute Podcast is I knew that a number of us millennials, Gen Zs, are trying to recalibrate their lives with what life is giving them, because you have a plan, but you see how COVID-19 just came and said, sister, bitch, please, reroute, turn back, think again, take a detour. So I planned a lot of things in 2020. I had hopes, dreams, aspirations, however how nebulous they were. I just planned my life. I'm someone who likes certainty. So I'm your type A kind of person. I am hands-on on my planning, my structure. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not necessarily like fitting to, I'm doing this by this time. I don't have a schedule of, based on the events I'm going to be going through or taking. I'll do them by this time. I'm not a timing person, but I just know that, August, I'm going to do this. July, I'm doing this. Blah, blah, blah. So I have all of that checkered in my head. Then the pandemic just came and just threw away every single idea off the list. So there was no need for me to check anything off my list. Everything was disheveled. Then I just had to battle with a lot of anxiety because I was not prepared for such uncertainty. God, 2020. If I'm going to talk about it today, we're not leaving this podcast. But we move. That's something that I've learned, that no matter how life bogs you down, no matter how whatever life tries to do to you, you just have to have that we move mentality, because you can't come and kill yourself. You can't, you shouldn't. So I have decided to remove out of myself. I've decided to remove, taking that cue to move, and I'm trying to let 2021 not dishevel me as much as 2020 did. Basically that's what Reroute is all about. I just want to banter a bit. I went to church with my parents. I went to their church for the New Year's service and Sunday service. And everyone is maxed up. Everyone is trying to be COVID compliant, with your mask. The church even shared extra masks. Maybe your own decided to run mad and, tear in one place, because they've been doing some very substandard masks, like in Lagos. two times I've been out, and my thank God I always had extra, and my marks were just here. I'm not straining with anything. I mean, it's just on my ear. I'm not dragging it. Also, I don't have a big head. My face is not swollen, so why? Anyways, you know, that's just the Nigerian market. Isha must not be standard. Isha must not be standard. So we go to church. I'm trying my fam. I'm so grateful to my father. His paranoia sometimes helps us. So anytime there's like some kind of epidemic, pandemic, whatever it's called, when Ebola came to Nigeria, my father was very, 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 what was the word? Hands-on on your protection, your safety, your health. So we weren't going anywhere. We weren't touching people. We were, you know what they call incommunicado. That's what we're doing. We're just out of the scene from everyone else, so trying to protect ourselves. So the same applied to COVID-19. You know, I think there's a spirit behind not knowing who can have it, who has it. You know, so everyone is a suspect, and you just have, how do you treat suspects? You either try to defend yourself in every way, or you go head on and fight the suspect. So my daddy took the latter choice. He's going to run away from every suspect, which is everybody in the world. So I'd been locked down in my home since March. I hadn't gone anywhere. I know it sounds very weird, and thankfully my job is a remote work, so it didn't necessarily disturb me. I didn't have to come out. So whenever I would go out, or like whenever I started going out, I think I went out first in September on my birthday. I used a work event to lie and leave the house. I think that's just about it though. Let me see. I think that's about it. So going back to my church thing, we went to church and everybody, okay, my family was very, you know, hands-on on being very protected with our mask, not touching people. If you touch somebody, we go and sanitize, wash our hands, all those kind of things. And after church, I was really tired. I noticed that in church, like, the people around didn't even carry this COVID thing on their brain. Y'all don't know that there's a second wave and people are dying every day. It's not only affecting the rich, it's definitely affecting the poor as well. But because they shine light on the rich because of their prominence, that's why we know that people are dying. A lot of people are dying, like raining water. Like water is raining, it's raining. But people don't talk about it. It's because of the way we've oversimplified COVID-19. I remember when there was a lockdown, there was so much talk about it. Now, we don't even check the stats anymore. We just know that there is COVID, but it's not coming close to us. I remember someone saying, how many people do I know that have had COVID and recovered? I know a couple of people that have had COVID and recovered. Okay, my dad's friend, not me. That have had COVID and recovered. I know people that have died of COVID, I personally know. So I understand the severity of this virus. But a number of people in the grassroots do not understand. So going back to my Sunday service story. After church, I was very thirsty and I decided to buy table water at the nearest shop. And I got to the shop and I was wearing my mask and I said, oh, Mofera bottle water. The woman said she didn't hear me. So I took it down, chin it up and said, I want bottle water. And I made it immediately, put it back on my nose. And she was like, she was not even the one. One random woman, I don't know where she came from, just dragged my mask down. I don't know how. I said, hey, this is how they used to keep people low. If there's a sniper, that's how the sniper would just destroy me. Or even the woman said, because she can't go and take my place. She just dragged down my mask and shouting, in this shop, she said it's in Yoruba, like, I really can't say it. In this shop, we don't do this one, yell, madam, there's no COVID. The government's just trying to scam all of us. Blah, 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 blah. Touch me. There's no COVID. I can't even hug you. Then I said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Somebody I do not know. She has not met me anywhere. I don't know her family. I came to come and buy bottle water. That's it. Oh, made you just to. And you just come and be telling me all this nonsense. That, oh, are we stupid to be believing all the numbers that they are? I'm like, hey, what is wrong with all of us in Nigeria? People are dying. Hey, why would you take caution? This disease does not have, you cannot see it though. When the Bible says that we wrestle not with things that we can see, principalities and wickedness in high places, COVID-19 is in high places, wickedness. You can, if maybe you can have, there's a laser glasses now that you can wear that will help you diagnose it. Like now, you can see that somebody else has it, so you not go to. It doesn't matter, everybody will buy the glasses now, and everybody will be going about their normal life. But because you can't see this thing, you don't know wherever you're touching. Somebody that has had it, has touched it, is infected, you touch it. You don't necessarily have to, somebody doesn't have to cough on your face for you to have it. I mean, the simplest act as touching something, mistakenly hitting your hand and grazing a surface, can get you the virus. And you are telling me, I'm doing like a dondida. Why am I believing the government? Mama, believe Pao. Because I have to protect myself. I think what I believe the government needs to do is to find a way. I know they're trying with the messages that they've been putting out over, like, on television. You know, they've been trying to do some ads. Maybe they've also been doing some radio programs or radio, radio dramas on centering on COVID-19. I still think a lot needs to be done. There needs to be serious sensitization on COVID, because a number of people are in ignorance, believing that the government is trying to scam them with this disease that is ravaging the entire world. American presidents have had it, prime minister had it, Canadian prime minister had it, his wife as well had it. I mean, people are dying from all these things. We've heard of big names in the industry, music, movie, finance. I've had all these things. They are dead now. We hear their stories. But a number of people do not still believe that this virus exists, or the virus existed but he has left. Oh, I remember the man saying, oh, he can't survive in Nigeria now. Blood was thick. I say, hey, Jesus. Ah. I don't know how you government want to translate the meaning of the severity of this virus, and how it can affect middle class, upper class, lower class, below lower class, under $1 class, and what it can do to them. Because I was really shocked. The woman didn't even I can't even remove that picture from my face, because I was one shocked. I don't know you. Then the fact that you are willing to break every protocol. You touch my face. I don't know if your spit or your saliva was just frolicking around my face with all your talk and your Yoruba that you were shouting on my face. You were trying to touch me. All the things that COVID told you to not do. And I even think it boils down to hygienic practices ourselves. I know for the fact that a number of Nigerians don't know that when you go to the toilet, when you finish doing your one or two, you should wash your hands. Wash your hands regularly. You know, it's a problem. People don't really do that. After a sweaty day, you have your bath. A lot of people will just say, I'm fine. Oma Femi, when there's fun, I'm okay. Yeah, people don't know that they need to take care of their bodies, right? So now there's now a cultural reorientation, and it's hard. It's hard for them to accept this new ideal. It's hard for them to accept this new reality, because it's not something they've been accustomed to doing. Now that you wash your hand once before you eat, you have to be washing your hand now regularly, like 10 to 8 times a day. Use what you know as sanitizer. That was something they never used to do. I mean, we believed that before, that sanitizer was for big people. They don't do those, you know, it's aqua. Now the aqua has become the new normal. I just feel like a lot needs to be done. That particular scene has been playing in my mind, and I know several people in Nigeria don't believe there's a virus. Several people would have the same scene play out, and it's going to be a normal thing for them. There's no virus. The government is trying to scam us. I was asking a couple of my friends who still take public transport to work and how they commute to work. And they're like, oh, before, during like the May-June time, there was still social distancing within the buses. But now, 6 people enter, be 5 on the seats. I'm like, wait, I understand that the economy is repressive. Everything is just going wrong in Nigeria. But now person where they are alive, they go work. Now person where they are alive, they chop. You get, that's why people don't be having unexplainable diseases. They'll say, I thought it's malaria. What happened? I can't breathe. It's part of it, too. But I think in our little corners, we need to also educate people. At the time, I told them my asthma, they still COVID, though. But because I couldn't speak her language, if I could speak Yoruba probably well, maybe I would have attacked the matter more personally to her. But I can't even say, what can I say? Is insult I can insult an Oreo with that. I don't even think I even got it well. You get? So I think a lot needs to be done, and some more conversation needs to be had on COVID and how it can affect people in the grassroots, they need to understand that their lives matter. And COVID really is at the helm of killing people. Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to get off my chest, because I still think about it. What's been happening to you guys? Another thing that happened was the Dangote lovers escapade. And I want to draw out is the fact that, why was it a conversation for me? Dangote has his private life. He might be a billionaire in our eyes, but he's also Mr. Alinko Dangote. Definitely a man who would have women around him. Definitely a man who would look for women for himself. Definitely a man who needs sexual gratification from women as well. So I don't get why it was a conversation, the amount of maybe bum picture. I don't understand why I was seeing tweets and I was just laughing. Kilo, there was our business. Even Kim Kardashian has a private life. You think all the keeping up with the Joneses thing that they're doing on E! For Us is their life every day documented? But there are still things that we don't know. They are hush. Is those who have like a taste of their life can understand. But I don't know why it was a conversation for us to be, yeah, those girls, I don't understand the exchange. I don't say, oh, he bought more things or he spent more time with me than you. Because I didn't get the reason why that was happening. I didn't get the reason for the tweets. I didn't understand why. Maybe, okay, accomplishment. Oh, in 2020, in a pandemic, I had the opportunity, no? I was with the richest man in Africa, Dangote, Aliko Dangote. What a very good thing to be on your CV. Anyways, it's not really our business. Dangote also needs to unwind. And if he chooses more than two women to unwind, it's not our business, it's his business. This news is not going to levitate the money in my account, neither is it going to reduce it or do anything to the money in my account or your account. So maybe just for the humor. I mean, there are a lot of things to be making us smile, so for the humor we laugh as well. I think we need to take a quick short break because I need to breathe from the conversation and reroute a bit. So let's go on this quick short break and I'll be back. Hi guys, I'm back. I think the next thing on my list to discuss has to be the paternity fraud stuff. So let's begin with FCMB. So the FCMB managing director, Mr. I think his name is Nuhu or something. Let's get this, let's turn into a story. So I work with FCMB, and FCMB is a very trashy bank. I know a couple of my friends that had the pleasure / displeasure of having them as their, I think, NYSE bank, and they suffered. They went through hell with the bank. If it's not service, if it's not their bank app is not working, if they do not take the, it took time for them to refund 5,000 naira. That bank, not me and them. You know, you have poor service. Great, you have big mansions as your office locations. So, but to the inside that mansion, you can't see fix common customer care problem. Mm-mm. You have to say, come back tomorrow. Come back Wednesday. Come back Friday. But what people can know how to do best is that you be spoiling people's marriages. You love that. Anyways, so Mr. X is the managing director of FCMB. And I have to bring the context here. God forbid. I am also working in FCMB. Mr. X and I begin an hobby's romance that is well known to everyone in the office. But me, I am married to, let me give myself a name, to Mr. Dedge. So I'm married to Mr. Dedge, and my husband, you know, he does really well for himself. We go for vacations, we travel around the world, we are okay, we have two kids. unbeknownst to my husband, to my unassuming husband, the children he thinks that are his own are actually not his own. They are for Mr. X. And I decided, to hell with this crap. I'm going to quit my job at FCMB. I am going to move out of this house with Mr. Dej. I'm going to travel to another country. So I take my two children and I travel to another country. And while I'm there, I didn't tell Mr. Dej. He came back, he didn't see the kids. He was worried, he was afraid. Eventually, he got word that I was abroad. Took my kids. I'm very quite sure that I took my kids on the expense of Mr. X's dollars. So I went to the America or whatever I am. And I try to seek asylum from you, that you are a wife beater, you're a batra, you're doing so many cheats. I just come up with a lot of lies. According to the story that we see, Shao, because all these things are still allegedly. So I lied that you keep me, you used to beat me. Naked me one day. You showed me pepper. Two, because I know that when you hear word that I'm in this location, you are going to come and look for me and take your kids. Because we didn't divorce, we didn't do anything. So legally, you are still my husband. So there and there, I'm trying to process that. And I'll say that, let me now even block you from coming to come and see me. I now start to come up with all those other lies. So they will never let you come into that city to find me. That was the biggest blow. So Mr. Dead decided to go on with his life. But when he found out that the kids were not his, he suffered a heartbreak or something. Then he's dead now. I think what sparked this story's interest for me was, not a story, this real life event, was the fact that people were signing petitions to get the MD sacked or fired. I think the only case here is a morality case. Yes, the girl played this man, Mr. Dej. The girl hurt her family. But I don't know if Nigeria is as progressive. I mean, there was a glaring case of rape last year. The person is still alive today. He's not in jail. He did not step down from office as a pastor. The whole story is a bit sketchy. I mean, and the person did not step down. Do you think this old MD will be sacked? If you write 10,000 petitions, do you think it can happen? Nigeria is not as progressive as we can. I mean, Nigeria isn't. So I believe they should take that case to a morality court, not to the law court, because they will look for a way to extinguish your claims. I know a man is dead now. It hurts. But we know the country where we stay now. Mr. X has power, money, connections, definitely. And he's going to wing it to his favor. So all of us that are writing petitions, signs, and that's it. That's where we are on our own. Because, you know, the law favors those with... You know what they say, where the money resides. That's where it's going to go. So I believe that's a case for morality police. But when it comes to, if you are saying petitions, sacking, law, all these things, Mr. X wins, though. He wins. And that's the sad situation where we're in. Someone is dead now because of two people's recklessness and stupidity. Office romance is usually frowned in any institution. Not talk less of ogas, patapata, and staff. And he made sure, because what I read was that everyone in the office knew. You can't even be discreet. Hey, what did you do in HR in that place? Now, I'm saying, how about people in that FCMB, they are doing a rookie, they are doing nonsense there. Because they know that if the boss can't do it, I can't get away with it. What kind of leader do we have? This person now come and say they want to run for House of Rep. After they've do their tenure year, they want to go and do Senate to House of Rep. They come and be given on their campaign paper, a family man, a father, a this one, a that one. I hear you. Anyways, this is Nigeria. Look how we're living now. I think it sparked the conversation of paternity fraud. One thing I know for a fact is communication in relationships. So before you marry, you are gonna have to discuss everything with your partner. Before we marry, I think it's best, please do all your tests. So don't come and use marriage to be doing testing. You are going for one test today, you know what? Do every test, because your body is not going to develop some kind of blockage that will prevent you from being pregnant or from having your children if you've already done a test that you're both fertile. So maybe when you enter the relationship now, when you enter the marriage now, maybe because of some design, some divine design, you can't have children, then you people will definitely know that it's not your fault. Something bigger than you is going to happen. But if you would not do any tests, so you don't know if the man has low sperm count, if the woman cannot, is not fertile, you just enter marriage, oh, love, and then the bigger question starts rising, and the husband can't produce kids because he has low sperm count, and because she doesn't want to disappoint the family, she goes off and looks for another, for an alternative, so she can save her marriage. Or this one happens where they go for different IVFs, they can't find solution, the husband feels this out, he runs to find another woman that will give him children. So many things that can happen. What I know is, if you want to start doing paternity tests after, I know it can be it's definitely going to be an insult to a woman who has been honest with you from the get-go, who really only has baby for you. It's quite insulting. But if that's what we need to be doing now, my dear, it's your marriage. It's you that understands it. If you want to shed tears later, that's your business. But my stance is, I don't think it's really necessary. From the jump, be honest. Say, you people should both be together on the journey. Go for all the testings. Everything that could impact your marriage, try to do things to prevent it before you enter it. In my heart, if you find out both of you are not fertile, or one partner is not fertile based on some medical pre-existing conditions, but if you still want to be with the partner because of love, and you believe that, okay, maybe fact that you can't bear children medically is not going to hinder your love, then you can as well do it. It is just a matter of communication. That's it. Communication in the effectual manner. That's it. All this paternity, if you are not in a marriage, you cannot bear children. You will say it now. Would the man kill you? Would the woman kill you? You can't. It worst comes to us, you both will split. You go your own way, she go her own way. That's it. So all this one, Koyemi, really doesn't mean it. And for women who trick their husbands into accepting kids that are not theirs, I don't want to know your reason. It is wrong. It is very wrong. And most of the 90% of the time, they catch you in your life. So all the lying, carrying baby will not be the person you want. At the end of the day, will still fall flat in your face, and you'll be the one crying. You'll be the one alone. You'll be the one that people will distrust. Everything still comes back to you. So there's no point in lying. There's no need. There's no rush. People don't have children, and they're very, very happy. You know, you just really need to find your communication balance, explain everything. And if it can't work out, see, somebody else will come along. Person might not even be that psyched about kids, but just wants your love. In this life, everybody just wants love. People do crazy things only in the name of love to them. Anyways, that's my own take on it. Communicate, do the test, do everything you're supposed to do. And if you feel like if both of you are fertile, and when you get to the marriage, the opposite happens, find a balance for yourself. Do not try to outsmart another partner by making yourself foolish at the end of the day. That's it. So the structure for this podcast, I'll be having 2 episodes a month. Yes, and if I can do more, hooray. If I can't do more, sorry. I just don't want to overpromise, and eventually I'm now slacking. I don't want to lag behind again anymore. It is time for structure. It's time for commitment. And I plan to be committed to this podcast. I swear that I'll be committed to this podcast. If you'd like me to talk to you about anything, please share this podcast. Send me an email. I'll be dropping the email description. I'll be dropping the email in the description box. What am I saying? I'll drop the email in the description box. So please send your queries, send your fan mail stories. If you have things you want me to give you advice on, definitely I'll dissect the issue here. You can be anonymous, you can give yourself a pseudonym. If you like, you can reveal your identity. Anything you want me to do, I'll do it for you. So yeah, welcome to the Rural Podcast. It's about 10 seconds left. Love you guys. Please share. Do not forget to share. That's been all for today. I hope you tune in next time. Bye.